Now that we're in here, so many stories to be told. Ooh. It's so clear, the more we hear, life unfolds. Yeah. No matter where you are, near or from afar, now is the time to go for what we know.
It's just
now
us
that we're in here,
show.
So many stories to be told. It's just so clear, the more we hear.
Hey, this is our movie, the It's Just Us radio show, streaming live on Carib Voice Radio. And of course, this is Caribbean American Heritage Month, and we are focusing on the Caribbean, but we are specifically gearing this up for the Barbadians locally and globally. And tonight I have with me Tashana Ellis, who is married to a Bajan, and she's an American, so now she's got dual citizenship and tearing up Barbados as we speak. Welcome to the It's Just Us radio show.
Thank you, Aubrey. Really appreciate you having me on tonight.
Yeah, you know, you're always welcome. You know, you have been part of the Carib Voice Radio family for so long. And I just want to yell at the world to let them know what you did recently. Care to tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, what you're doing, and how much money you're making?
Oh, Lord have mercy. You asking all? Well, as you said, I am Tashana Ellis. I'm known to some people as Mrs. Ellis because I'm an educator by profession. That is my heart. My passion is teaching. I've been doing it almost a quarter of a century. I know my voice don't sound like I'm that old, y'all, but I'm really young at heart. So I'm an educator is my my full-time job. But what I also do is I am an entrepreneur. Right now on a part-time basis, looking to do that on a full-time basis. Right now I am actually into the health and wellness industry. I have a health and wellness business here in Barbados, doing some amazing things with a company I'm a part of. Even open up my own health shop called Shawnee's Health Shop. Yes, everybody knows me here on the island as Shawnee, the detox tea lady. So, you know, I had to go ahead and open up my store to, you know, help individuals better their health, right? So in as far as income and everything, yes, I just broke a record here in Barbados as being the first 50K US earner in the company that I am a part of. So yes, it's exciting. You know, I'm putting Barbados on the map. You know what I mean? Just excited to be able to share. Yes.
That's exactly what you're doing. And the enthusiasm, we all need some of that after all the stuff that's been going on.
Yes, but you know what? I'm grateful, right? Because one of the things, you know, one of the virtues that sometimes we overlook or take for granted is gratitude. Yes. And I know I show gratitude in every single thing, whether I make $1 a day, 50 cents a day, $2 a day, $100 a day. Whatever it is that I earn on a daily basis, I show gratitude. Right. And, you know, when you show gratitude, more comes to you. It's just a formula. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
It's a formula.
So your family business, your son was actually on the show last week.
Yeah, he was. Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things that we instill in our son, he's 12 years old. You know, my husband is also an entrepreneur. He owns his own barbershop here in Barbados. Very well known, very, very talented and skilled barber here on the island. He one of three that actually makes man wigs. Yeah. So anybody need a man wig in Barbados, you know, you're balding or have a receding hairline, you know, he can hook you up. But it started from him. He was the very first entrepreneur in our family. And then I kind of, you know, ventured off and did my own thing when the education system with lessons and tutoring and all these other things. And then just kind of got into the health and wellness industry just a couple years ago. And in doing so, you know, my son at the time was, I think he was about six or seven. when my husband actually started his, you know, his business. And then when I started my business, my son was 10 and he's looking at us and he sees daddy has his own business and making his own money. And mommy now has her own business and making her own money. And he was like, well, I might as well get my own business too. So that's what we did. We supported his vision. You know, he had a vision of what he wanted to do. You know, I didn't want to discount his idea, you know, of what he wanted to do, which was sell snacks. But I just fully supported what he wanted to do. And, you know, so far so good. He just bought some stock this past weekend, was restocking up his store. So yeah, it's a family business. It's a family business, you know? Yeah, it's family business. We all have our own individual businesses, but collectively as a family, we're a family of entrepreneurs for sure.
It's collectively, it's just us.
And yeah, it's just us. You know what I mean?
It's exciting. And
it is. It has brought us closer, honestly, as a family. It has helped build relationships. Our bond with each other is amazing. Matter of fact, my son and I I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but we actually wrote a book together, you know, during the quarantine time. Yes, we wrote a book together. You know, we were sitting here in quarantine thinking like, okay, well, we can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. The ash is falling. Like, there's so many different things that are keeping us in the house. So instead of just sitting here twiddling our thumbs or watching TV and just looking at each other, right?
Yeah.
We said, like, what can we do? Like, let's figure out a way that we can monopolize, you know what I'm saying, this opportunity. Now, let's figure out a way that we can make some money, you know, while we were sitting up in the house. So that's kind of like what we did. We talked about all the things that, you know, we used to do, you know, before COVID. And it kind of just accidentally happened to be a book. So that's kind of like where we are. Mother-son duo.
Yeah, you've been phenomenal about it. You've written books with other kids. You've made a lot of substantial inroads in Barbados.
And, yes.
And how many, well, you rented a couple more books, but you wrote a book with, well, how many kids were there? 28
It was 20. It was 20 in one book, and it was 20 in one book, and 18 in another book. So it was about 38 young authors I created. And I remember thinking, "Wow, this is so needed." You know, like this, you know, just literacy number one is just so needed. You know, not only here in Barbados but worldwide. So I was able to introduce that love of writing, you know, to almost 40 children. And to this day, you know, one called me just the other day and was like, oh, my God, Mrs. Ellis, I remember when we did that book, you know. So I now have about 5 under my belt with over 100 authors. Yeah, over 100 authors, young authors have been created since I've been doing that, you know, yearly book that I do. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And the children take such pride in knowing that they had a part of something as, you know, as big as having a book, you know. So yeah, loving it.
I'm loving hearing about it again. But I'm also learning about new things that you have done in the midst of all of that. I apologize, folks, for my voice. I've been talking all week, and so you know, speakers,
yeah,
coaching,
understood.
This is so correct for what we are doing with this Just Radio Show for Barbados and the Caribbean region, because this is the month that we get together as a group dynamic in across America and let people know who we are, what we stand for, what we do, how we do what we do. And it's just us Caribbean people.
Right.
And secondly, or in some cases, first off, friends of the Caribbean. We can't forget that. Yeah. You know?
All right. Exactly.
So you're there in Barbados and you have the publishing company, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a coach, you're a trainer, and your husband has the barbershop. I just learned that he made man wigs.
Yeah, he makes man wigs. You need one? Wigs.
I don't need one.
He can do the beards too. So if you know, if you have beards, if you want to just, you know, a beard for maybe a photo shoot or something, he can also do that as well.
Oh, wow.
He actually put one on me and my son.
Really?
We were doing this. Yeah, we were doing this skit. I have to show you the video. We were doing this skit and we had to switch roles. So my son was a man and I was obviously a woman. And then we switched roles. I mean, my son didn't dress up as a woman or anything like that, but he switched roles. He was the one that was in my clothes and then I was in his clothes. I don't know if you remember back in the day when they used artists to have that switch song where you would start off one way and then as it switches, you switch over. Right. So we did something like that. So my son had a beard first in the first part, and then I had a beard in the second one. So he can do them on women too, y'all, if you need a beard.
Wow. I would like to see that. That's so neat.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to find it for you and send it to you so I can share with you.
Sounds like a lot of fun. How big is your grown team of entrepreneurs now that are in your network? How many people do you have about?
I have about 40 individuals that I'm working with personally to help build their businesses. Mm-hmm. At one point I had more than that, but you know, sometimes, you know, you kind of weed out the ones that are serious and the ones that, you know, aren't ready yet. Absolutely. So I have about, And sometimes, you know, it's okay. You know, I tell people that, if now is not your time, it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person or, you know, that I don't, you know, want to work with you. Or I don't like you. It's just that right now you're not ready. So, you know, sometimes people need time and, you know, I give people their time and their space. You know, to do what they need to do. You know, I never force anything on anyone, you know, because if you force them in the beginning, guess what? You got to keep forcing them.
Oh, man.
So I work with them.
Not to cross you. The interesting thing is that you're doing entrepreneurship work on the island, and the timing is so perfect for that kind of thing, right? You had an initiative to have 1,000 families be a part of what you're doing.
Yes.
Is that still going on?
Right, and that was actually... Yes, it is. And that vision was actually not my own vision, but it's one that I am carrying out for my leader and my mentor overseas, Coach Stormy Wellington, you know, where she had a vision of creating 1,000 millionaires. And so to help 1,000 families, you know, build wealth and, you know, break generational curses. Yeah. So I just kind of took her vision and just kind of ran with it, you know, here, you know, doing it within my own, you know, circle or within my own, you know, community or whatever the case is. So not just, you know what, I can't even say that, not just here in Barbados, you know, because I have individual teams that I'm working with all over the world. You know, I have a team in the UK. I have a team in St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Grenada. We have in Canada. So, you know, we're all over the place. So when I say, you know, 1,000 families that we're trying to really reach or that we are going to reach, I've removed the word try, right? We're going to reach 1,000 families somehow, some way we're going to reach 1,000 families. So, yeah, so I just kind of took that role from my coach overseas. So that's definitely her vision, but I am, you know, I am actually helping her implement that vision.
Yeah, I think it's timing is right because entrepreneurship is the way forward in so many different ways for so many different people. And it's all about overcoming fear and so on. Any final words before we move on to our next guest this evening? And we're going to be also interviewing the president of the Barbados Alliance of Homelessness People and so on.
Yeah. I would just tell people to, you know, like whatever you think, you know, whatever you think you can do, you can. And whatever you think you can't do, you're right. So whatever you think of yourself, you're absolutely right. And I just want to say to the people that everything that you need in order to get where you want to go is inside of you. You just have to dig in there and find it, you know, and implement it. And there you go. Those are my last words.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm telling you,
you're welcome.
I celebrate you because our story is kind of a fanfare story that people need to know. We'll talk about that some other time. We'll do a TV show.
I know.
We'll talk about it and have some fun. We'll do a nice little summit to let people know how we rock.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you having me on again. And anytime, you know, I'm ready.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
No problem. Have a good one. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. This is Orby. Welcome to the It's Just Us show. I have a couple of supercharged guests tonight for you. And the second guest is the president and founder of the Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness, Mr. Kamar Safri. I hope I said that correctly. All right. The former name was the Barbados, for those who don't know, the Barbados Vagrants and Homeless Society. And it can be described as many things: a successful entrepreneur, businessman, motivational speaker. I love that part. That's one of the things I like, because that's what I do. That's my thing. Facilitator, minister of the gospel, philanthropist, and youth activist. Welcome, Kamar.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Tell me, what got you involved in the Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness? Tell me a little bit about that.
When I became a Christian, I believe this is something that God wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, following God as a new believing Christian, you know, I was young at that time, was no getting into Christianity. I just basically got up and went straight and do what the Lord had asked me to do. And that would have been working with the homeless, assisting them where possible, getting them off the street, and look at rehabilitation and reintegration for them. So that would have been my focus. That would have been the dream, the vision, rather. I would have gotten to move persons from point A to point B to, you know, to a place where today they can, you know, be in a much better place in terms of being on the street, and also to look at advocating for them so that society in itself would not just see them as a menace, but would obviously see them as persons, as people, as the me and the you, to basically the way how society sees us, and they want the society to see them the very same way.
That's absolutely wonderful, a very worthwhile calling. I know it's not easy. And so, how long ago did you get involved with this?
This is about just over 12 years.
Okay, 12 years.
I would have received the calling and going strong as it relates to working with the homeless community.
Okay. So what kind of services, when someone, what's the process for when you intake for a homeless person coming into the Alliance? What are some of the steps they have to take?
So just to take you back a bit, the organization would have only started having a shelter of since the last 2 years. Our focus was always on home rehabilitations for the homeless. Sometimes we had challenges with certain stuff, getting certain things. But then we knew that we needed a shelter big enough to house homeless, take care of them. And then that is where we are today, having a shelter to basically rehabilitate and reintegrate them. So that is where we are at now, and that process is simple. Persons that find themselves homeless would either just come into the shelter from 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. They will speak with our shelter managers or shelter operators on duty, and they will carry them through the process of helping them, you know, to get inside, making them feel a little bit comfortable, explaining to them what the rules are, explaining to them where they will sleep, how the procedures. And once that is done, they're then shown to the bed, and then they're shown to a dorm. They can't bring in a lot of things because it's not a house. It's just a simple night shelter. They have to leave by 8 a.m. rather. And they can come in and sleep. Simple procedure. Walk in. You're homeless. We go through the process with you. We help you. And that's basically it. And then there's a number of services that you're entitled to in the morning, like case management service. You're also entitled to us helping you beyond your situation, like finding your job, counseling, mentorship, church educational program, and anything that will move the person from point A to point B.
To get them re-established.
Reintegrated.
Right. It says that you have like 1,400 persons that you have helped.
Over time.
How many people can comfortably be in the shelter that you just started up from 2 years ago? How many people?
At any given time, we can house 90 persons. 20 of those being women, and we also have a nursery for babies.
Wow, that is fantastic. How can our community, the global community, assist you? What are some of the needs of the center at this point?
Well, we are trying to purchase the shelter right now at a US $500,000 budget. That is what, when we try to do that, we are trying to purchase the building so we can have it for ourselves, so that we wouldn't have to be paying rent, so that we don't have to be worrying about whether or not someday we'll come and we would have to find ourselves homeless. It took us quite a while to find the shelter to be able to use it, to be able to work with a number of organizations to bring it to the to where it is right now. So our focus is just about getting persons to help us purchase this building at the $500,000 US mark.
Mm-hmm.
Within the next year or so, and so that we can officially call this home, and we know for sure that no one would take it from us, because at the end of the day, it would be for the homeless lifelong.
So do you have any initiative, any crowdfunding initiatives, any other types of initiative for the building fund?
We're running a pledge campaign here in Barbados where we're asking just about 2,000 people to pledge $250 US, and that will bring us to our $1 million mark to be able to purchase the building. So we're aiming for $500 from each person to be able to do that.
Okay. What have been some of the highlights that you can share with us for people who got reintegrated and are now perhaps assisting with the shelter?
We've been able to hire some of the persons we reintegrated into our security team, into our management team. And that is always a good sign that we're able to take persons back and rehire them. We're 100% successful in job placements. One person showed the ability to work and we reintegrated. We helped them find a job. And we're very successful in that area. The thing is that we've rehabbed hundreds of people because of the fact that, you know, we show a different side. You know, we work with them. We help them make the goals, the long-term goals and the short-term goals. We show them love beyond. We use Christ, obviously, as our standing and our centerpiece in terms of really rehabilitating and reintegrating. People show them that as Christians, you know, we have nothing but love and passion. We don't force our religion or our beliefs down anybody's throat. But at the end of the day, we act and we, as the Bible says, by your fruits you'll be known. And we just allow that to show every day that we care for them, that we love them, and that we care to help them get back on their life and get to a better place in society. And that has always been our focus. We've moved people that had psychiatric problems. We've helped persons with drug addiction problems. We've helped people with disabilities and also persons that are, we call deportees, all get back to mainstream society through our rigorous at the crossroad reintegration rehabilitation program. So we have been doing pretty good. As long as the client showed the seriousness, we have been doing pretty good to move them back into mainstream society.
I am very excited about what I'm hearing from you. I mean, for this level of mentality and understanding, and really, it's really encouraging.
Thank you. You're
noted as an international award-winning advocate, and you've had the pleasure of shaking the hand of Queen Elizabeth II in an award-winning trip. Tell us a little bit about that trip. How did that affect you?
It was good in the sense that as a young person, especially from a small island such as Barbados, that you're able to be recognized on such global level. And it's always good that young persons, you know, it feels good as young persons when we are given that honor because it drives us more. Not that you would not be driven if you didn't have it, but it always gives you that sense of accomplishment that you did something good and you could be honored by Her Majesty the Queen, and twice honored, not just once, by her for work done with the homeless and then you know, around the world people recognize you and your work for the homeless. And I think that always paints a good picture because as a small island person, you're not always, you know, you don't always get out there on the global market. You know, always you won't be always seen and recognized. But I'm glad it does. We would have been recognized, and it also set a tone for other young persons who may have a desire and a passion to go and fight a cause, that they can look and see that there is some sort of worth in it, and there is some sort of blessing in it, regardless if it will ever come or not. The point is that there are some good in helping people, and you will surely be rewarded among men, among kings, among queens, among whatever the case may be. So it's always good, and it shows that I can encourage people to get into this field and to help those who need help.
Wonderful. I could read all of the accolades relating to you, but I think that this is going to take a whole month to do. but to be acknowledged by Prince Charles in 2019, and then again, like you said, in 2019 also, the Point of Life Recipient Award by Her Majesty. And also by Dame Sandra Mason, the Governor General of Barbados, and the list goes on. So as you move forward with the housing project, the homeless project rather, what would you like to see Barbadians around the world do to continue support and help you to sustain this course in addition to helping you to purchase the property.
But we need these, the diaspora support. You know, funding is always critical to make sure that the operations of the organization is still being run every day. We always welcome food stuff, men's clothing, most of all, you know, especially shoes, boxers, vests, those critical things that they need. And so we always welcome that kind of donation, any kind of eating food stuff that we can cook, keep everything going for them. And we, you know, if they're ever in the country, their professions is always good. If they're in finance, says if they're in management and they want to come and give a speech to the homeless, you know, embed more in, invest more in that area as well. It's not always about the money or isn't always about, you know, the food and stuff like that, but it's also taking the time to invest in their life. So the diasporas that, you know, or retirees that have the expertise, to be mentors, you know, to help be the shoulder which some of these men and women can lay on and explain their story would be also good in moving forward.
I simply love what you're doing, love the aspirations towards a better sustainable course in life for them. Any final words that you would like to say to our audience this evening?
No, just continue representing us. Continue learning more about us. We're on our website at the baehcare.org, sorry, or you know, they can always reach out to the office at 246-538-2480. Check out our website. Just Google us and see where you can give assistance, see where you can lend assistance to us. We're more than willing to work with any person, as always, to be able to bring some light to what we do here in Barbados.
Before I let you go, I have to jump over into the entrepreneur side of things regarding you.
Yes,
what is your prowess in the entrepreneurship field of endeavor? Prowess, what do you do in terms of entrepreneurship, individually or collectively?
So I'm into digitization. I have a printery. I do some building and maintenance, mostly building apps, though, anything in technology. I'm an advisor and consultant to NGOs on how to build NGO matter. I'm a kind of fixer, so I can go into organization and find issues that are within your organization that you need to fix to better your service and to better your get your business to the next level. So yeah, those are things that I do outside the entrepreneurship. I had a cleaning company before. I've been into ice cream parlors. I've been into salons. I've been into furniture stores, you name it. Wherever the market is, I've been in it already.
What type of printing do you have?
We do t-shirts and we do mostly paper printing, but we partner with other persons to do a bit to do t-shirt printing and other stuff like that. But we can do anything in paper.
Okay, so you can print books also?
Yeah, book and bind it, and we could digitize books as well.
I'm loving this question I asked. All right. So I'm going to spend some time hanging out with you because you inspire me. And anyone that inspires me, I'm going to hang because it tells me that you're my mental level or above. And I'm excited about that notion to call you up now and then. And my hashtag for you will be the fixer.
Fair enough.
So whenever I call you any place in the world or in any meeting that I'm in, and I call and I said I need to talk to the fixer, you know it's all entrepreneurship driven.
Fair enough.
Okay.
That's what we call.
Yeah, I have a workshop called the Elevate Entrepreneur Workshop. It boosts people to get into do what they do the best with their ideas. Some of them have published books through my publishing company.
Oh, nice.
And this broadcast is brought to you through one of our partners in the region, ComeSee TV, which is the first all-digital television network in the region, and has a reach about 20 million thus far, from what I understand, with the stats and so on. And my partner in this endeavor is from Dominica, and his name is Lindsay George. He's been in Barbados a couple of times. The beauty of our word being the best is that we've never met in person yet, and many of the other entrepreneurs I've never met in person yet. But the attitude and self-image is something that's very powerful, and that's something that you're working on. And anything that I can do to assist, I'm going to do. And one of the things that I'm going to do is talk more about who you are, what you're doing in terms of this. And hopefully we can get together and have a really good time talking about entrepreneurship.
That's fine. I'm
okay. All right. Thank you so much. Any final words?
No, that's it. Thank you. I want to thank you and appreciate you guys for adding us to your talk. And so we welcome it. And whatever we can do, you know, going forward, we will love to partner as we go forward.
Thank you so much. Stay safe. Continue doing what you do. Welcome. Thank you for being a part of It's Just Us Radio Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
The It's Just Us Radio Show.
Thanks for tuning in to the It's Just Us Radio Show. For guest consideration, show ideas, or to contact any of our guests, please email us at itsjustusradio@gmail.com. Also, visit our website, itsjustusradio.com, to connect with us on social media. It's Just Us Radio is brought to you by It's Just Us Productions.